Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. Last fall, I got the opportunity to visit our Sin Relief Center in Puerto Rico. Oh, wow. It was such a blessing for me. And while I was there, I got to visit the compassion ministry side of what we do there here at Sin Relief in Puerto Rico. And I got to meet our team at Adoptando, which is the foster care ministry side of our Sin Relief Center there. Met the most incredible family. And so I got to speak with a lot of our families who have adopted through Adoptando. And I'd met the Peel family. And Laura, you just stood up and started sharing what God had done in your life as you held baby Jace in your arms, as you and Daniel stood there, and there wasn't a dry eye in the group. And so, Laura, I'm so glad you're with me today because I want people to hear your story and hear how it's not been neat and tidy. You've had to really rely on the Lord through both of your adoptions. And I'm sure from the moment you came to know the Lord, He's been training you to depend on Him. And so I just want you to share with our listeners today and with me some of your story. I don't know, but the beautiful story of how God has built your family. And maybe just begin with what you and Daniel do while you're in Puerto Rico, and we'll go from there. But welcome, Laura. Thanks for joining me today.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. It is definitely a privilege and an honor to be able to share just a little bit of what the Lord has taught me and shown me through this journey that He's entrusted us with. So Daniel and I, we met in high school. We've been together since high school, and he was in the Marine Corps while we were dating. We got married through a series of different events with that, with job transitions and just the Lord really pursuing our hearts and us running sometimes, you know, out of fear of that call. We ended up answering the call to missions, and that all started 10 years ago for us in 2012. We took a 2-month mission trip to Honduras. And so I had never been out of the country before. Him, with a Marine Corps background, having been to Afghanistan, found this opportunity and called me and at work and said, "Hey, want to go for 2 months?" And of course, I was a type A first grade teacher thinking, "No, I have my plan in order. We can go for 7 days. And for 7 days, these people will water the plants and these people will feed the dog." So the Lord has really had to break me of a lot of that. But 10 years ago, we started with just a trip to Honduras that we say ruined us for good. And I'll come back to that summer in a bit with my testimony. But since then, we have come on full time as missionaries with Youth for Christ International. We attended language school in Costa Rica, lived part time there studying, and then also lived in Honduras for a period of time. And for the last 4 years, we've been here in Puerto Rico as national director and ministry coordinator for Youth for Christ Puerto Rico. So much of what we do is dealing with young people, students, college age students, and just really showing them the love of the Father in a way that's tangible, doing life alongside of them, and just earning the right to be heard in their lives, to be able to share Christ with them.
Well, you just, I tell you, Laura, every time I talk with you, I love being around you. You just radiate with the gospel and with the grace of Christ. And so I'm so excited for everyone to hear your story today.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. It's all based on, you know, the suffering and the trials and the struggles that I've been through with Him. I think a lot of times as Christians, we try to avoid that. We try to avoid the suffering. We try to avoid the difficulty of our story. But the truth is, that's where the Lord meets us in the most intimate way. Yeah. And for me, I can look back over all of the struggles in my life and just see that He was refining me and shaping me and molding me for what He was entrusting me with. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Yeah, I think we all would agree with that, that we look back, you know, hindsight's 2020, right? And Absolutely. We can see how the Lord was bringing all the pieces together. So, Laura, just share with us then, you know, how we see now how you've gotten to Puerto Rico, and then how the Lord just began building your family. Did you always have that desire to adopt? I hear people share they did at a young age. I did, but, you know, kind of put it by the side as our family started growing and we got super busy in ministry. But how did that come about with you guys?
Yes, I can tell you that there are two things that stand out in my mind about being the 16-year-old young girl that met the soon-to-be United States Marine as we began dating. And the conversation included two points. The first point was, all I've ever wanted to do was join the Marine Corps and go to war for my country. And the second point being, I've always wanted to adopt. And for me, for that to be part of his heart, as wow. he, you know, tried to come across so strong in some ways, it really stood out to me that we were so young, yet we both had this heart that was turned towards adoption. Neither one of our families have, you know, adoption stories in them, but for some reason we both felt that stirring and the idea of building a family, wanting that to be a part of it. And mm-hmm. so yes, it started from the beginning for us, but the Lord really got our attention that first summer in Honduras. We were there for 2 months and serving with Youth for Christ there in Honduras, and through the kids that we were encountering, we slowly, the walls of our heart kind of started to crumble, and we realized we can love as God loves, no matter what that looks like, to build a family. And so these conversations started stirring in our hearts with the Lord, and then later with each other, that we wanted to lay down our agenda and our plan for building a family. And we wanted to open our hearts and our lives to whatever the Lord saw fit and what he had planned. And so while we were serving there on that mission trip, we received a phone call from our home church that a young girl connected to the church was considering an abortion. And the youth pastor said, I know you guys, you know, will pray with us. And at that time, he had no idea what the Lord was stirring in our hearts thousands of miles away. But he said, you know, we just really want to storm heaven, that the Lord would intercede with that, this abortion would not happen. And so we prayed and never heard an outcome. It wasn't a super close connection to the church, and we were gone for those 2 months, so we never heard the outcome of her decision. But that phone call even further stirred our hearts towards what God had been speaking to us about adopting. And so we started the process actually that summer. At the very end of our 2 months, we met randomly, but not randomly, with the Lord, a connection there who was an adoption attorney in Honduras. And she worked and partnered closely with her brother. And so they both agreed that they would represent us in a, more of a private adoption instead of through an agency there. So we began the process, signed papers, started the ball rolling, and then the Lord slammed the door. That attorney suddenly died at age 35.
Oh, wow.
Totally unexpected, a heart attack. Was in great health, but the sister called and said, we're closing the practice. I can't go on without my brother. I'm so sorry. I know that your heart's invested, but we just can't. We can't continue to help you. And so that hurt. You know, it felt like we had heard from the Lord. We had seen him moving, but the door was clearly closed. And so we were back in the States that fall and decided, okay, well, let's pursue adoption from the States. We opened our profile to any ethnicity, any background nationwide. We didn't want to limit what the Lord had for us. And the only thing that my husband requested of the attorney we were working with was that the adoption would be closed. He was very apprehensive. He had a lot of, you know, what ifs in his mind, as I think many families do when it comes to the decision. Should we leave this open? Should we keep this private? And so we moved forward with closed adoption in our record and our plans. And so, and that was hard for me because I was a little more open to a relationship. But I think that was him, you know, as a protector of my heart, and our family felt that that was right. And so we moved forward, and a couple months went by and we didn't hear anything. And, you know, in the meeting with the attorney, they said, oh, well, you guys have opened it up to any, you know, situation, any background. And so it shouldn't be long. We should be calling you soon. And so 2 months later, we hadn't heard anything. And so my husband contacted the office, and because of an oversight in their office, just something that happened by mistake, we were not placed into the system. Our file, our paper file, was never entered into their system. And so this was early December of 2012, and they said, well, we're very sorry, but hopefully you should get a call soon. And so another, you know, interruption, another delay. It just felt like door after door, you know, as you're trying to pursue God and continue in obedience, it just felt like maybe this isn't right. Maybe we did hear God wrong. You know, you start to question everything. And so the next day, we received a phone call from the counselor at our home church. And 30 minutes later, after that call, we received a call from the attorney office. And both of those phone calls were regarding babies. The first call from our church office was, she didn't let us know in the phone call. She just said, I really need to see you guys this evening. Like, can you come by the office today before 5 o'clock? Very urgent. So in our hearts, we kind of knew that something must have been pressing, but the attorney did call and say, we told you it wouldn't be long. We found a match for you. The birth mom is in Montana. We were in South Carolina. She wants nothing to do with the process. She doesn't want to know anything about you. So it felt very safe for my husband. It felt, very secure and very certain. This was her 10th child. And so she had been through this for many times. And so we felt like her decision was probably pretty firm. But then when we arrived at the church at 4 p.m. that day, our church counselor shared with us that there was a young girl connected to our church who also had made a decision that day to place her baby up for adoption at 30 weeks pregnant. And it turned out to be the young girl that we had prayed for.
Oh, wow. That's incredible, Laura.
So, 6 months prior, we had prayed for our daughter and didn't know. And so through a series of about 30 minutes of conversation, we had only until 5 o'clock to make the decision for the attorney. It was a very fast paced decision with them. Both babies, little girls, due on Valentine's Day. I mean, it was like the world stood still, all of the pieces and details that lined up. And we were left with a decision. And in that moment, we share with people as we share our story, we felt like the Lord showed us his loving kindness to us because he gave us a choice. He gave us what we felt like was comfortable with the closed adoption, with the security of her decision, with the distance, with the privacy.
Yes.
But then he also presented to us what he had gone before us and had been prepared.
I cannot imagine in that moment what you're thinking. Like, here's two babies that need a loving home. And I know your goal is they come to know the Lord. You want to love them. You want to nurture them. But I know your heart. You want them to know Jesus. And so in that moment, what do you and Daniel do?
Well, like I said, it was a time-driven decision, unfortunately. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. it put a lot of pressure on us, but it was hard, and it really felt like the sun had stood still, and like it did in scripture, and everything had stopped, and we were faced with this decision. And so we sat and we processed and we asked the church counselor, how do you know? Because a yes is also a no, that's a heavy yes.
Yeah.
And so she said, the only thing I can say is I can call the young lady who's connected to our church. She didn't know that we were going to talk to you today. I asked her to give me 1 week. But the minute that she walked out of the office, I was physically so burdened that I had to talk to you today. That's why I asked you to come. And so the Lord had really just been moving all these pieces. And she said, why don't I call her and see if she's anywhere nearby the church for her to come and you can hear from her directly how resolved she is. And so she walked out of the room and 20 seconds later walked back in crying and said when she answered the phone, she was passing the church. She's in the parking lot.
Oh, and what's Daniel thinking? Is he okay with talking with her, with birth mom?
Well, I think, again, it happened so fast that we didn't have a lot of time to really put any kind of defense up.
Yes.
All we could do was cry. A lot of Kleenex involved, just trying to figure out, okay, Lord, you've closed door after door and you've permitted these delays and things that were so frustrating, to go 2 months and not be on the list. That was devastating, and to think, but in that time of waiting where it seems like God is still and doing nothing, he was working, he was stirring hearts and he was moving pieces and parts for this exact moment. And so within a minute, our daughter's birth mom came through the door. She was in the room with us, 30 weeks pregnant, carrying our daughter that we prayed for 6 months prior. And so looking back, you remember times in your life where God is stirring your heart and speaking to you. And in the moments that he was tearing those walls down in Honduras with those children, our daughter was conceived, and he had his hand on her life and spared her from the abortion and was just moving all of these things and pieces together. And so that first adoption journey with our daughter taught us so much about the sovereignty of the Lord.
Well, and and that she, that birth mom's in her car in front of the church, the moment that you're sitting there and trying, saying, Lord, show us which way to go here.
Yes. And I mean, literally answered the phone and said, I'm passing the entrance of the church now. Do you need me to come?
Oh.
And so, you know, one of the greatest moments that I call to mind of that meeting with her, because a few months prior when the adoption fell through with Honduras and just the discouragement that comes when you feel like you've got this plan and it just falls apart. I came home from teaching one day and Daniel was upstairs in the house and he had pulled all the carpet up and all the baseboards and was laying floor and had started painting. I mean, all day had been working in this room. And I said, what are you doing? And he's like, we're making a nursery. We're building a nursery for this baby. And it felt cruel, you know, because I was so hurt. And I said, I don't want to get my hopes up. And he said, no, we're going to do this by faith and we're going to see God move. And so by the time we met birth mom that day in the church office, the nursery was ready. We had felt in our hearts that it would be a girl. That was the one thing that the Lord had just continuously like impressed on us. And so we had a name picked out for her. And when we shared that name with the birth mom, she began to cry because she has the same middle name as me, as our daughter. The three of us all share a middle name. And we had already had that picked out, you know. And so God was in every detail. It was just so clear that in that moment, his sovereignty was so real to us. You know, our daughter, she'll be 9 next month. And so it's been quite a long time since all of this has happened. And she does know her story. She shares it and talks proudly about, you know, that the Lord handpicked her mommy and daddy and how he had a plan for her when she was in the womb and called her by name. But her favorite fact to share is, do you want to know the coolest thing? My birth mom, my mommy, and me all share the same middle name. And so it's just been sweet to see the Lord's hand in those details, even as she repeats the story and shares it with people.
And I'm sure at this point, Daniel wouldn't have changed anything about it being open and him meeting with birth mom. I mean, you know, we have man plans in his heart, right? But God Absolutely. Directs his steps.
Yes. And one of the things that Daniel shared that day with her, sitting at the table as we shared what we had been through. And of course, we also shared with her the decision that we were having to make, you know, not to put pressure on the situation, but just to bring to light, you know, this is a big decision for us too, you know, because a yes is also a no. And how do you know? But then as those pieces started to fall together, he spoke to her and said, up until this moment, I was so protective of my heart in this. And I would have never wanted to know you or to sit at this table with you or to feel like this connection was so intimate. And he said, but I'm looking across the table at you as you're pregnant with our daughter. How could I ever say to you that I didn't want to know you or want you to know us? You know, the Lord has chosen you to answer the prayers and the cries of our heart. Mm-hmm. And so, That was probably the most beautiful part of the process with Josie's birth mom was just the ministry side of it, being able to empower her and help her to see that the Lord brings beauty from ashes and the Lord sets all things right. And even in a decision that felt wrong to her because of her circumstance, her decision to give life to her daughter, you know, was just the bravest, most valiant thing that she could do. And the Lord picked her and chose her and was writing her story through it as well. It wasn't just about the story he was writing for us. And so, it changed his heart in an instant, you know, the Lord is able to do that no matter how hard we feel like we are. And so it became such a beautiful story of an open adoption where, you know, we were able to minister to her. She was able to see what God had been doing. I think it comforted her, you know, to look and see, wow, God really had been moving and preparing their hearts and even their home for this child, you know, that mm-hmm. he is in this with me. And so what felt like interruptions, you know, the death of the attorney, the oversight of us being on the waiting list, it all ended up being intentional and just a picture of God's sovereign hand over all of us.
Amen. It really did. And just like you were saying, Daniel continued on the nursery after the death of the lawyer in Honduras and all of that fell apart. I know that feeling when your hope, you know, all your hope's in this one little basket, right? Mm-hmm. And you think it's all gonna, you know, it's all gonna follow the plan and end well. And like you said, you're a teacher at heart. You know, you're a type A at heart. And so you needed all of this to go as planned. And then he kept working on the nursery. You said it felt cruel. And I know, but yet the Lord was still working, even when you didn't have any answers. Did you just feel him continue to call you to faithfulness, Laura, during that time of brokenness?
Absolutely. Yes. I can recall driving to work to teach, in those months of waiting and, you know, just crying out to the Lord, where are you? What is it that you're wanting from me, Lord? I'll do what you say.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go where you say to go, but just feeling that silence, and that silence can be deafening. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be so heavy and it can be so discouraging. And I've met so many families who in that silence just want to quit. And I think the biggest message for me, the takeaway for me, was the fact that I could look back and see in those exact moments of silence, that's when he was moving in ways I couldn't see. You know, things that the birth mom would share with me, well, you know, in September this happened, in October this happened, and I can call to mind those were some of the loneliest moments of my life, you know, just feeling like even my husband was moving on in faith and being so strong and so certain, and I couldn't, you know. But yet when I can look at it now, I can see that the Lord was fighting for me and he was just forcing me to be still, even though I wasn't choosing it.
Yeah.
He was just leaving me there to be able to then look back and see that he's for me and he's faithful and he keeps his promise to fight for us. It was incredible. And when we share her story, you know, just to encourage people that you can't always go off of what your gut says, you know,
right.
I want this closed. I want this to be certain, you know. Even in that moment before our birth mom came to the church, I said, but how do we know this birth mom, you know, Montana, she's done this 10 times. This looks so certain, you know, by sight, this makes sense. But yet God doesn't call us to walk by sight. He always encourages that experience with him to walk by faith. And so for me, what I went through for Josie, for our daughter, was just a preparation. And I had no idea, but that almost 10 years later, he would invite me again on that journey with our son. And so,
That is so beautiful. And and that he gave you that, you know, 10 more years, I'm going to take you on this road again. Well, we cannot wait to hear that story of how the Lord added another child to your home. But I hope that you can join us next time and just continue your story. And we would just love to have you back so you can share that. Can you join us again?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.